Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus in the West, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. These days, the object of this program is to go through the Bible, through the Scripture, chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse, and without leaving anything out. And we're not going in it in chronological order from Genesis to Revelation, just going through it as I feel led by the Spirit, since I've undertaken this attempt fresh. On the 10th book in this series, the new series I'm doing, and we're in the book of Jeremiah. And that's where we're going to pick up today. If you missed any of the previous programs, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you'll find the last 5 days' broadcast there archived. You can listen on demand at any time. If you're late for a program or you miss it for a day, the programs are uploaded within an hour of the broadcast, so you can go and listen on demand any time. That's at crosstheborder.org. There you'll also find the other studies that we've done in this attempt to start a new series on every book of the Bible. We're on book number 10, so we've only got, 56 to go? Yes, we're going to be here for a few years, but that's fine. That's fine. I can't think of anything that I would rather do. We're in Jeremiah chapter 4, and I have marked here verse 16. Jeremiah called himself the prophet to the nations. And of course, he was a prophet in Israel, too. And we're going to jump right in here, because there's nothing I could say that would explain what's going on more than just reading it. Starting in verse 16 of chapter 4, make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Well, that means there's foreigners in the land, you know, watching, spies perhaps from a far country, and they give out their voice. The key word there is against the cities of Judah. And nothing like that is happening in America, is it? Verse 17, as keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, Jeremiah speaking, I believe, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Now, I feel like there's a great parallel here between the times that Jeremiah lived in Judea and the times that I live in the northern American continent here in America, and see a people that have gone backward. And Jeremiah talks about how they still look religious and everything. And yes, with the corporate churches out there, it looks pretty darn religious. But why aren't they winning in the culture war? They are not winning in the culture war. Otherwise, why would we have abortion? Why would we have homosexuality? Why would we be continually losing our liberty, our freedoms? Why would we become the greatest debtor nation on the earth, where in the youth of America in its youth was the greatest creditor nation? America had real money, real substance. a just weight and a balance. But now we have empty promises to pay. Yes, that's what a note is. If you know anything about finance, a note is a promise to pay. A note is an evidence of debt. And when you pull those little pieces of paper out of your wallet that you call money, they are evidences of debt. Notes. That's what they are. Notes. All money is loaned into circulation in America because America is no longer a free nation. Oh yes, we have the illusion of liberty. And you know, that's the worst. The worst kind of slave there is the one who falsely believes that he is free. So America is full of the worst kind of slaves. They have an appearance of godliness, but they practice wickedness. We talked about that yesterday. Jeremiah brought that up. And then they teach the wicked ones to do it. So now the wicked ones are starting their own churches. They got homosexual pastors, and they love money. And they especially love debt money. They especially love those evidences of debt notes. And they have signed up to become card-carrying members of an abominable debt monetary system, a usurious monetary system, something our Heavenly Father called an abomination. It's not His monetary system. So what could happen in America? Well, exactly what happened in Israel. I don't know what will happen. I know what the Scripture says. I know what I believe about America's place is in the Scripture. I believe that America is the second beast that rose up out of the earth or in the wilderness. Two ways of translating that. With two horns like a lamb. And we've talked about the lamb-like features of America. So I know what America's destiny is. I know what the destiny of the second beast of the book of Revelation is. That it is going to become like a dragon. And it's becoming a little more dragon-like all the time. I don't think that we're there yet. I don't see America killing the holy ones, the people of God, His set-apart people. That isn't happening yet. I do see persecution coming in, people being left out because, well, I mean, if you're going to be a follower of our Heavenly Father's law, then you can't partake in their debt monetary system except through ignorance. And boy, you know, woe to you if you're fully engaged and you don't want to let go and you hear this program, you hear this word of His law, and you realize that you are fully engaged in the world, and you have their identifying number, so you're of it. And if you don't want to get out, if you aren't looking for ways to be made free, then woe. Woe to you. Because what we have here is we have a nation of people who have signed up for a mark of a beast, for a monetary system that is a usurious monetary system, yes, to become a card-carrying member, to buy and sell and trade in their system, you have to be identified as one of theirs. And I've talked about this before, how they have this commercial on the TV where this guy puts his mark, his identifying number on the side of a big semi-truck or a big truck, and he drives it through the towns, and he dares people to steal his identity. Although the secret is people have stole his identity and used it, but nonetheless, where is your identity? Where do you find your identity? Is your identity in Christ? Do you live and move and have your being in Him? You know, I would dare someone to steal my identity. And why would they want it anyway? There's nothing to be gained by it. They can't get the riches of this world by stealing my identity, because my identity is in Christ. My identity is in Him. He is my Father. I have been born into His family. I am part of His holy nation. That's my identity. It's not in a 9-digit number. I don't have that identity. And if I had it, I would repent of partaking in such wickedness, such an abomination. He said the just weight and the balance are mine. Real money is His. Yes, I do trade in those notes. I use those notes. But you know what? If I go down, to me they're a commodity. If I go down to their bankers tables, their money changer tables, you know, down in the buildings, they call them banks or whatever, financial institutions. And if I try to use their monetary system to create some for myself through borrowing or getting a loan, they won't let me because I don't have the number. That's right. They won't let you unless you have the number. You have to be one of theirs. You have to have their mark, their identifying number, in order to participate in their monetary system, to participate in creating money. The substance is his. He said, a just weight of balance is mine, but we can find many statutes against usury. And a whole system that is based on usury. And it's ridiculous. It's fraud. Most people don't even know what they're taking part in. They think when they go to get a loan to buy a house or a car, they think that somebody at the bank there is loaning them other people's money in the bank. You know, that's the way banking was before we had a debt monetary system. The bankers would bank people's money and their gold and their silver, and they would give them banknotes. And the note said that we have on deposit here your money, and you can bring your bank this bank note anytime at all and get your money out of the bank. But until then, you can use these for trading. And if the bank was reputable, then people would trust in the bank's notes. But now it's not so. No, you don't borrow people's money from the bank. You go down and the bank has you create a note. They take your note. See, you're participating, you're creating this unjust weight and balance money. You're a participant in it. Because you have a number, they allow you to play their little usury game. And it's a terrible game, too, because most people don't understand, is that the money that they're borrowing is not being borrowed from the bank. It's not even being borrowed from the depositors of the bank. But the bank takes the note, and they give it to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve waves a magic wand over it. Well, okay, they monetize it. That's like waving a magic wand over it. And voila, this money springs out, and they put the digits in your account. And then the bank, over the duration of the loan, you're going to pay back three times on the note that you created. And by the virtue and the privilege that you received through receiving their mark, their identifying number, they will magically monetize it for you, and then you'll get to buy that thing, that $250,000 house that is only that high because of the monetary system. Because before they let go of the real money system, you know, you could, that same house would be like $10,000. You could buy a new car for, you know, $1,500. But inflation came with it. But you're going to have to pay back three times for that house. So for the privilege, the banksters, for the privilege of having them wave their magic wand over your note and monetizing it, they're going to get the principal back, the amount you borrowed, right? I mean, if you go for the full duration of the loan, they're going to get the principal back, the amount you borrowed, and they're going to give that back to the money magic people, the Federal Reserve, and that extinguishes that money. But in addition, you're going to pay the banksters twice that amount again in interest on a note that you created using their voodoo economics. Yes, we had a president who coin that phrase, voodoo economics. But that's what it is. It's voodoo economics. And that's an abomination. That's what our Heavenly Father says. That's what's going on there. Now, how we got into that, I don't remember how we got off on that little rabbit trail there, but we're talking about, now that's right, the second beast and how we've lost that godly, that lamb-like principle of a just weight and a balance. So what's going to happen to America? Is it going to end up like Israel in that day? Well, a lot can happen, and the second beast can be torn down and rise up again. Anything could happen. The second beast, the people of this nation could possibly repent. though as I look out over the land, I see that it's much like, you know, Judah was in the days of Jeremiah. And it may be one to a city, two to a family. Yes, it seemed like a very minority of people were going to respond to the cries of this prophet, Jeremiah. And so hear the word of the prophet Jeremiah to the nations, because these words apply to us as much as they do to Judah in that day. And we know the end then. And we know the end now, but we don't know, have a lot of details of what could happen between now and the end of the second beast that rose up out of the wilderness. He says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Why was he so alarmed? Should not Judah, should not Israel be triumphant in war? No, because he knew the end of that war. He knew the wickedness of the people and the punishment that was coming on the nation. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. The prophet is proclaiming what is going to happen. The destruction that is coming on Israel. This vision of total annihilation. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And behold, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Yahuwah. And by his fierce anger. So what are we learning here? That our Heavenly Father, he will allow destruction to come. He will allow us to reap the reward of our own wickedness and our own disobedience. He will allow it. As a matter of fact, it is here called his fierce anger. He allows it. His fierce anger allows the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Judah by the hand of the heathen. Let me ask you a question. If China moved against America with their 100 million man army, you know, perhaps only half of them would make it here. And perhaps we'd kill half of them when they got here, but we would still lose, wouldn't we? Think about that. What about the other nations? Oh, we would call on our allies like Israel did. They called on Egypt. They called on whoever they could make, and they were no help when Babylon came in. None of their allies could help them. What do you think? We call on the NATO nations and all of Europe and say, remember the day. Remember in World War II when we came to your aid. You think they'd lift their little finger to help us? No, I don't think so. I think they'd say, you know, China's a lot closer to us than they are to you. We'd rather have them just take you. 100 million man army? Who's going to stand up against that? You get that red China mad. They got enough to leave half of them at home to subdue Europe. Could they do it? Well, I'll tell you what. They can only do it if the Creator allows it. Then will people call on the name of Yahuwah? Will they call on the Lord? Will they say, help us, save us? And what will he say to them? Chapter 4, verse 27. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, and I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what will you do? What wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. There it is, thy lovers. That's your foreign entanglements. We had a wise founding father in George Washington when he said to avoid foreign entanglements, because they will turn on you when the time comes, as they did on Israel. Well, we're going into a break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Find that email link there and email me. I would like to hear from you.